Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Deidre Bayer and Jackie Moran. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hey everybody, I'm Jackie Moran, taking the reins for Mari tonight. I'm so excited to get into all the juicy drama from this week's episode. And of course, I have the wonderful Deidre by my side to help me break it all down. We may be missing one host tonight, but we are not missing any drama when it comes to The Real Housewives. Don't you agree, Deidre?
Oh my gosh, we never ever miss a beat. You know that.
So before we get into it, do you have anything you want to share with everybody before we get into the gossip?
Yes, two very exciting little announcements. As you guys know, Maria Menounos's The Every Girl's Guide to Life is on bookshelves right now, and it is so fantastic. There are so many tips inside the book that I have integrated into my life that have made my life super, super easy. My sister's graduating from high school next week, so I have picked up a copy for her as a nice little graduation gift. Great tips on cooking, saving money, organizing your life. Definitely go out and get it. Also, Maria is on the cover of Self magazine this month, which is so, so, so exciting. Such a huge accomplishment for her. She looks fantastic. Tons of weight loss tips in there. She looks beautiful in the photos. Definitely, definitely go pick that up as well.
Yes, she looks amazing. And of course, her book is a must-have. I mean, you cannot put more tips into one book than she did. So
you really can't.
Go pick it up, guys.
Totally. And, you know, I my dad's going to kill me, but I caught him peeking in the book the other day. So with Father's Day coming up.
My boyfriend also was peeking, and I really think guys enjoy it too, just as much as girls.
Oh, totally. I mean, I caught my dad looking at some of the weight loss tips in there. So with Father's Day coming up, I think I might be buying my third copy of the book, and I'll be giving that to him.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's good for everybody.
Totally.
And what else is good for everybody is drama, drama, drama when it comes to The Real Housewives. I can't get enough of it, and they keep supplying it. Although we start off this week's episode on a lighter note, Luann and Sonia get together to plan a exotic vacation for all of the ladies, thinking with good intentions that it will be a break from all of the tension. So Luann jumps in with her suggestion of Morocco as the warm, exotic, sophisticated version of Paris, I guess you like to call it.
Yes.
So they settle on Morocco, and of course Sonia thinks it's a great idea, which a trip with these girls, I'm not so sure about that. What do you think about this trip that they have now on the horizon?
Well, like we said last week, these women are slowly and slowly mimicking more and more of Sex and the City. And how reminiscent is the Morocco trip of what the ladies did in the second film? So
absolutely.
We have that going on. I think Morocco is going to be an awesome backdrop for a drama and chaotic filled vacation. Of course, they'll be indulging in all the wonderful things that Morocco has to offer. There's lots of, you know, spas and beautiful pools and scenery and camel rides. And I think it'll really be a wonderful, wonderful place for these women to really either have at it or prove that they can actually be friends and get along.
Right, and we shall see, although this week, leading up to this trip, there was more drama in one episode than I can even imagine in anybody else's week's worth of life.
Yeah.
But, you know, all the girls, of course, sign on for the trip, except for Kelly, who has to think about it, which
rightfully
so. No surprise.
Rightfully so with her, definitely.
Yes, we all know how the last trip went for her, so we were left in suspense until later to see what Kelly's decision was, which we'll get to. But so the first lunch with Luann and Sonia went well, but then we get to our second lunch of the episode, and that's Ramona and Luann at Alice's Teacup. And it didn't take long for Luann to start chastising Ramona on her fight with Jill. She definitely butted her way in there with her opinion, telling Ramona, "It's not what a good hostess does, darling."
Yes. Of course. How great was her impression?
I have to say that her imitating Luann was, throughout the episode, was fantastic. I love the darling,
yeah,
you know, connotation.
She totally
it's so
had
how
it down.
Luann is.
No, she totally had it down. And I love how, you know, what bothered me a little bit about that lunch was that Luann had invited her to lunch, and you think when you're going to lunch with somebody, you're going to like enjoy their company and have like a nice conversation. But Luann just sort of, you know, had the claws out and just immediately let Ramona start having it. And,
right,
you know, not that I'm on Team Ramona, as we all know, I'm definitely not on Team Ramona, but good for Ramona. You know, she started making fun of her and mocking her. It's like, if you're going to give me this BS, I'm going to give it right back to you.
Right, and I had to laugh when she handed her the koala bear from Jill. Did you not find that funny?
I mean, really? I mean, you know what? If Jill had given her, like, you know, a really nice piece of jewelry or some sort of, like, a bigger memento or something with a little more, I don't know, prestige. I mean, it was a little rinky-dinky koala bear, and they're not on the best of terms, so I really don't think that was that necessary. I mean, what did you think about that?
Well, it was just kind of immature, the whole thing being the little koala bear just perfectly represented how immature the situation was.
Totally.
Like, so what do you think of Jill? You know, it's Luann comes off like she's so proper and mature, but I kind of feel that her getting in the middle of this was the opposite. I think it was kind of immature to sort of just get in something that she had no business getting into. And she had some strong words as well, like the things you say sting and leave a burn,
yeah,
and have you sleep at night.
Totally. I mean, on
so
one...
Ramona,
sorry, continue.
Well, so Ramona had to kind of put her paws up and say, at least I say it to people's faces and not behind their back, which I kind of had to agree with her there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think the Countess meddling and sort of playing the role of the instigator. I mean, if Jill has an issue with Ramona, she can confront her about it. You know, Luann did not need to take her to lunch to have the claws out and to be attacking her because, you know, if there's a conflict between two people, they're two grown women. They can hash it out on their own. But I was surprised at Ramona's maturity at the end of the lunch. She went ahead and said, okay, I'll try to talk to Jill. We'll try to peacefully make amends and make this situation happy again. So I was pleased with her on that level.
Right. We left off on a good note for now.
Yes,
But she also admitted that she puts her foot in her mouth at many occasions, which I think takes a lot to be able to say that about yourself. And she's right. So we left off on a good note, and let's just say for now.
Yes. That was only 10 minutes into the episode, so
Right. More to come on that.
Right.
But let's take a break from Ramona and go to Sonia's toaster oven photo shoot.
Maybe my favorite scene in the entire episode. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Of course, I love how she described herself as Martha Stewart meets Robin Leach.
I know. I know. Very self-congratulatory in typical Sonia mode.
Right.
But again, I hate to keep going back to this Samantha Jones comparison, but Sonia, getting ready for the photo shoot, she sees the photographer, the cute, like, you know, 35-year-old photographer, young guy, and she goes into total Samantha Jones mode.
Yep.
She goes, I don't want to, I don't want to stop shooting if it's going to be him, or so, you know, something to that effect. And I just thought, wow, how reminiscent of Samantha and Smith's relationship.
Right. And then let's go upstairs and finish the rest.
Have right.
A couple
yes.
of meanings you could take from that. Right.
Totally.
I thought you got to love her. I mean, honestly, also, let's compare her photo shoot for a second before Kelly arrives and gets all crazy.
Yes.
Let's compare her with Ramona. I mean, she owned it. She actually, reading her blog, she was apparently a former model back in the day. She's done many things. If you read her blog, you'll see
all these women have these large portfolios of work that apparently we've never really seen much of. But yes, sure.
Right. So I like that she owned it. She was confident. She was sexy. And of course, we know she was comfortable to take off her underwear, which comes later. But
oh gosh,
I think she looked great. And David Evangelista is a great, great, you know, person as far in the fashion industry.
Oh, yeah. One of the best.
And so she knew the right people here, and she looked great. And I think, you know, Kelly comes in and kind of is supposed to be supportive, but kind of ruins it for her as far as playing that supportive role. What did you think of Kelly coming into the mix?
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and agree with what you just said. Sonia did own it. She got on her two knees on top of that table, and she strutted her stuff, and she seduced the camera like it was her job. Definitely points for doing that. Kelly coming in, I'm not really sure why she was invited. Was she there for, like, moral support? I'm not quite sure. But, you know, right. Kelly is the only one of those women who I actually know has a legitimate modeling past. She definitely right. was a model, and she was married to a very famous, he was a photographer, correct? Her ex-husband?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she definitely has a lot of credibility in that field. For Kelly to come over and say, why was I invited over for a shoot for a cookbook that doesn't exist? I agreed with her. I think Sonia was, of course, jumping the gun, looking for an opportunity to get dolled up and work with a celebrity makeup artist and take her clothes off and start posing for this photo shoot a little right. prematurely. If you don't have the product, it's a little premature to be marketing it already.
I half agree with you there. The only thing I'll say is these days, in order to sell anything, the more you can visualize a product, the better it is. And if she has the money, which when we get to news and gossip later, I'm not sure if she has the money, but
right.
if she has the money to front a photo shoot to further sell the book, I actually give her props for that, because it's, in a way, can be a smart marketing tool if they see a full picture rather than just the recipes. It brings it to life. So on one hand, I agree with you that it's premature, but on the other hand, it could prove to pay in the end. So.
You know what? I do see where you're coming from, especially because the innovation that she's going after, a toaster oven, it's not exactly right. like saying, oh, you know, I have a book, or oh, I have a makeup line. You know, that might be something that you're right. You need the photos to really prove that what you're doing is worth it, because that's not exactly
right.
a conventional item that a woman would come out with and market as her own. So, yeah, I do understand
right.
where you're coming from on that. The thing that I really just didn't get was the whole no underwear thing. She even said,
right.
I think she said at one point, I don't want to pull a Britney, alluding to Britney Spears. But, you know, Kelly was obviously very revolted by it and thought it was very, very, very peculiar, especially for a woman of Sonia's age, to be posing without underwear at her photo shoot. I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, again, you know, I don't know why I keep giving Sonia the benefit of the doubt, but if she says that about the Britney comment and then she goes and pulls the Britney, I'm not quite sure how. I mean, I feel like in editing we kind of lost, like, how it exactly happened.
Yes.
Like, I hope she didn't just open her legs for the photographer, and, you know, then I wouldn't agree with it, and
right.
I'd be disgusted. But if you just happen to catch a view, what, you know, backstage at a fashion show, you're likely, and the girls call Kelly out on this, you're likely to see everything and anything.
Oh,
so,
I completely can totally imagine that. Yeah, that's totally the situation. But when you're at your home and you're just with your small crew of people, you know, Sonia probably could have put on a pair of underwear and called it a day. But, you know, she wouldn't be Sonia unless she was, you know, causing chaos like this. So it was to be expected, I suppose.
Right. And even when she preempted it by saying she wasn't going to pull a Britney.
Right,
right. Leave it to Sonia to pull a Britney.
Right.
So
you have to have that contradictory nature.
Right. And, of course, Kelly opens up about this and more serious topics on the Brunette's getaway to Canyon Ranch.
Yes.
Which, that was a car ride to remember. I guess they had got lost. They had plenty of time to
chit-chat
to open up
and,
with each other.
Yes.
So, I mean, of course, the ladies sort of give Kelly a hard time on the vajayjay visualization moment with Sonia.
Yes.
What did you think of the ladies' reactions there?
Well, at first, you know, call me conservative, but I think if you're like in your mid-50s and you're like chatting with your girlfriends about vajayjays and that's what you're calling it, like, really, aren't there other things you can talk about? But like, you know, when things got a little more serious, the women were like giving Kelly a hard time, and you could tell there was clearly a reason why she had an issue saying that word out loud.
Right.
And then as she kind of divulged the reason why she has a problem with it, I gave her a lot of credit, because it takes a really tough, secure, strong person to say on national television that they had been physically abused before, especially if
right.
it was by a loved one or, you know, someone of particular importance in your life, which it seemed like. So give her a lot of credit, because like you and I were comparing notes earlier, I think a lot of women can probably sadly relate to that, and they probably take comfort in the fact that somebody as beautiful and sought after as Kelly has experienced those similar types of situations. What do you think?
Right. That's, you know, no matter what, at the end of the day, we give all of these ladies maybe a hard time. But she's right in saying that just because I'm pretty, people think my life is easy. And or even just because she's a reality star, people think her life is easy.
Right.
Nobody's life is easy. Everybody has issues and is dealt a hard hand at times. And I think for someone like Kelly, who I think actually is at times very insecure or comes off insecure on the show.
Yes.
I really do think it took a lot for her to say that, and sometimes you don't even know why it comes out of your mouth, but she just obviously felt a moment and shared it, and I give her a lot of credit, and I really think a lot of women out there, whether it was that particular physical abuse or just other issues in relationships, being her age and not having a man by their side, I just think that it was, in the midst of all the drama, a good moment of drama for a lot of women out there.
I couldn't agree more. I was just about to say something similar to like what you just said, that, you know, this show is 43 minutes worth of just, you know, fighting and drunken fueled cat fights and whatnot. While I'm obviously not happy to see that Kelly had to experience something like this in her life, it was like a refreshing moment to see a bit of drama that was a little more heartfelt than some of the other more trivial stuff.
Right. And Luann, for a moment, had my heart with, you know, the bonding moment.
Oh, yeah, being very comforting, yeah. Totally.
And, so it was a very, very touching moment, and I think a great moment. And there were more moments like that to come later on, but, of course, the ladies finally arrive. And let's not forget that Luann in the car also, she went from good to bad to good again. She also called out Ramona for, I believe, being a diva bitch. I don't
yes.
know if I can say that. She better behave. So I just want to point that out, because I think in response to Ramona saying that at least she says things to people's faces, I just want to point out that there she is saying something behind Ramona's back.
Yes.
So
completely.
Let's keep that in mind as we move along, right?
Definitely. And diva bitch is a harsh way of referring to somebody. So yeah, I completely agree with you on that one.
Right. So then it starts to get interesting with West African drumming and workshops and moments of hilarity.
Jackie, you live in New York. You live in New York. Have you been to Canyon Ranch yourself?
I haven't. It is a very popular retreat for a lot of ladies I know, but I personally haven't been there.
Do you have any friends who have been there? I mean, I've heard of going to spas for the weekends. I've heard of mud baths. I've heard of all sorts of crazy things. I've never heard of African drumming seminars.
Right. I think Jill said, it's like all kumbaya and a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, it got really, really, really funny when the women had to describe themselves and then do or say an interesting fact about themselves and then beat a certain rhythm. I mean, not exactly my idea of tranquility and an idea of what I would want my spa getaway to look like. But nonetheless, it made for great television.
Yes. And I think we should point out that I like what Cindy said. Jill didn't, but I like that Cindy said she's not as tough as she appears.
Yes.
As her thing that she admitted, which I think that's interesting. I think that might play out as the episodes go along.
Totally. And can I point out really quickly that Jill had obviously mentioned, here's something you might not know about me. I'm not really a redhead. So she chose to pick something physical to reveal. When Cindy goes, I'm not as tough as I look. And then Jill sort of mutters, and your teeth aren't real or something to that effect. You know,
right.
Who the hell is Jill to be talking about what her friend is fake or real or whatnot? I would be so mortified if one of my friends had outed me on something like that. I thought it was completely inappropriate.
Yeah, and the whole point of that is to not be judgmental and feel open with each other. And the side comments were just not necessary there.
Totally. And I think the point of the exercise was to say something like what Cindy had said. She said something like emotional and about, you know, her inside. Jill revealing that she's not really a redhead, that wasn't very conducive, I think, to what the instructor was trying to accomplish with the women.
Right, and even Luann, I think, said something about liking large jewelry or something.
Yeah, she said, I like wearing large jewelry to African drumming class. Like, it was not a time to be humorous. They were there to disconnect and to try to get in touch with their spiritual side. So that was a little weird for me.
Right, and of course, then it goes back to hilarious with Cindy again calling it the vagina monocles.
Yes.
Instead of
monologues.
That was pretty funny.
Yes, totally.
And Kelly also, later feels freed after her reveal, which makes total sense. And they share one-word thoughts about each other. So I think there was, as weird as it might have been, I think there were, you know, some good things to come out of that trip.
Definitely. And, you know, Kelly revealing that very personal detail about her life, I think it was great that came coupled with this awesome weekend that she really might have needed with her really true, good, loyal girlfriends.
Right. And while they were off at the Canyon Ranch,
we had
the blonde at the plastic surgeon. Ramona wanting to tighten her neck, Sonia suctioning her tummy, and Alex apparently didn't get any treatments, but looking to take care of herself now that she's a model. What did you think of the blondes at the plastic surgeon?
You know, I'm a huge believer in, and this is just me personally, I'm a huge believer in do whatever you need to do to make yourself feel as confident and beautiful as humanly possible. What I'm not a believer in is fixing something when you don't really have a problem. I mean, Ramona was sort of splitting hairs, like, you know, overanalyzing her neck, looking to, like, tummy tuck her neck, and then Sonia was looking to do more nips and tucks. And I just fear for my sister. My sister's 18 years old, and she and her friends watch this. I don't want them to see it and think, oh my gosh, I need to be spending my weekends in a plastic surgeon's office, you know, overanalyzing every last minute detail about my body. So while I'm all for plastic surgery, if that's what you think you want and need and, you know, desire to make yourself feel wonderful, go for it. But I think it's sending a mixed message at the end of the day. What were your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. I think each person has their own right to make a decision on what they want to do, you know, to make themselves feel more confident. And you can argue that that's the same thing as fixing your teeth or, you know, working out even, just to make whatever you do to make yourself feel confident. But
sure.
I agree completely. When you're in a role like that, you become a role model.
Yes.
And no matter what, I would love to have seen these ladies sending a better message just about confidence. And women already have so much trouble having confidence. There's so many women that don't look as beautiful as them that really need them to feel beautiful so that, how, you know, otherwise what hope do other women out there have?
Oh, completely.
So,
and I mean, I just
don't like the message overall of the scene, although it was meant, I know it was meant to be more lighthearted, but
yeah, No, totally. I'm such a huge believer, though, in diet and exercise. And those women, they're not morbidly obese, and they're definitely beautiful as they are. I don't think either of their issues, Sonia and Ramona, both of their issues could have been very easily corrected with a little bit of diet and a little bit of exercise, you know, automatically taken it to the plastic surgeon's office to get a quick fix. Not something I necessarily agree with. But, you know, good for Alex for not jumping the gun and looking to reconstruct herself, especially when she's the one who's trying to make it as a model more than the others. But I did give her a lot of credit for doing that facial on screen, really getting up close and personal.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Afterwards, she looked a little it looked interesting. So, yes, I do give her a lot of credit. And I think Ramona and Sonia, they just need Maria's book and they'll be fine.
Should we go ahead and send them? We should get Maria to autograph a copy and send it over to them, because reading a few of her tips would honestly save them so much time, money, effort, pain, et cetera.
Right. And at the end of the day, I think we're just trying to tell them that they are beautiful just the way they are.
100%. There you go.
Anyway, well, we can move into, I think, the big event of the night. So much happened in an anti-bullying event. So much bullying. It's amazing.
Yeah, right? Metaphysical dilemma there.
Of course it would go that way.
Right.
Jill was organizing, of course, an anti-bullying event. And let's just start off by saying it was, I think, a very touching message that her stepdaughter shared on national television.
Yes.
Jennifer, I believe, was her name.
Yes.
And she was sharing her experience growing up with a particular birthmark or whatnot. And I think, again, another touching moment here on The Real Housewives.
I mean, I couldn't even deal with it. Like, that, my heart broke into 4 million pieces for that poor girl. Obviously something she's grappled with her whole life and something that she used to be ashamed of, and you could just feel the heartache in her voice. But again, so many points go out to that young lady for standing up in front of a room, in front of a lot of powerful women, and telling her story. I think she definitely gained a lot of people's respect. What didn't fly with me was the wine pouring and the blatant disrespect of Ramona looking to refill her glass instead of paying attention to the overlying message. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, let's start at the beginning. Because I think it's interesting to show that Ramona arrives with the intention of being calm.
Yes, she wants it to go well.
Right. She arrives. Jill has mixed feelings on Ramona coming in the first place. She shared that with Alex. Of course, Alex says, "You're assuming the worst about each other." Jill's saying, "Don't let her bully me here, not in an anti-bullying event."
Right.
So that's how Ramona comes into the scene. Of course, when she arrives with Pino, you know, where there's Pino, there's drama. You know, there's bound to be some drama.
That's her tagline. Yes.
So she quickly starts demanding them to serve the Pinot Grigio. And what we are left confused about is if she was told to bring it as a silent auction item or if she was told to bring it to be served at the event. And Jill and Ramona are back and forth about this. What did you think was supposed to happen with the Pinot Grigio? And, of course, here we are talking about Pinot Grigio.
Okay, here's what I think. You work as a model, so you've gone to plenty of events where they have an open bar and they have cocktails. I work as a reporter. I've gone to plenty of events where they have open bars and cocktails. There are always catering companies and sponsored alcohol brands that provide the liquor. I have yet to attend an event where a person is like lugging the bottles themselves. I think that was a total self-indulgent move on Ramona's part. I think she wants to ensure that her choice of beverage will be served. And what better than her own brand that she's obviously trying to market and publicize? I thought it was such a tacky move to try to pretend that, you know, the liquor was there for one reason, but it was really just there for her own enjoyment.
Absolutely. Either way, and Jill says this on her blog, when I say don't serve it, she should have said fine. And so either way, even if she was under a different belief when she brought it,
yes,
when she should have honored Jill's request not to serve it.
Completely. And you know, these thoughts that we have, I think, are merited by the fact that the entire evening was spent with Ramona running around, either looking to refill a beverage, looking to refill someone else's beverage, looking for more. Everything with her is about her damn Pinot Grigio.
I know. She can't go to an event and not make it about Pinot Grigio.
Completely.
Which actually leads the ladies to question her on this, Ramona's Pinot problem. Luann basically saying, when you have to bring your own Pinot to a party, there's a problem.
And absolutely.
This actually is what led the girls to believe she has a problem. Now, what do you think? Do you think she really has a problem as far as a true drinking problem, or is it more just a personality problem with the whole Pinot?
I would definitely go with the latter on that. I think it's more of a look at me, look at my line, look at my Pinot Grigio, more than it is just an actual issue with alcoholism. I definitely don't think Ramona is an alcoholic. I think she enjoys a drink or five, but I don't think she's up late at night, drinking herself into an oblivion all by herself. So I think at the end of the day, it's all self-motivated. It's all, let me publicize my product. She obviously wants her product to start selling out in the stores, probably similar to how Bethany Frankel's products have been doing. And I just think it's really tacky. You know, you're there to support anti-bullying. You're not there to support yourself. She had her Pinot party last week. You know, just be respectful of the premise in which you're in and behave accordingly.
Agreed. That Pinot Polar behavior came out once again.
It did. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about the conversation that she had with Luann once she had gotten liquored up. And Luann had complimented her outfit. And she goes, you know, she gave her a little jab. And she said, oh, well, I got it from Jill's girl because you don't share your contacts with me. And then Ramona goes into her whole spiel about how David Meister is my designer and my designer only. What were your thoughts on that?
Here we go, a major muse battle going on between two adults fighting over who gets to wear a designer. I mean, Luann, I have to say, Luann arrived, as Alex put it, I think, with a bee in her bonnet. She said that on her blog.
Yeah. I
have to say, Luann comes in kind of like on fire, and I don't necessarily think Luann was wrong in wanting to be able to wear David Meister. But Ramona was just as immature about that as far as saying, you can't wear my designer. There's plenty of designers out there. Now, if she were trying to, if Ramona is his muse and Luann were trying to become his muse and really take over the relationship, I could understand, then it becomes an issue. But if she wants to wear one dress, come on, let's be mature about it.
Oh, completely.
And if anything, imitation is a form of flattery. So that's just, the whole thing there was immature, in my opinion.
And you want to know what's funny, something that I noticed. When Ramona was at the plastic surgery office with the blondes, she said something to the effect of, my philosophy in life is, if you know something, share it. And here we have a blatant contradiction. Luann called her and said, can I get your designer's number? I want to get something made. And she said no. And I just think that that's such a tacky move. I try to be as generous with whatever I can, with whatever I have, with whoever wants it. I mean, that's just the kind of person that I am. But apparently Ramona, not so much. She kept going off about how Luann only wears Ungaro and she's not allowed to wear David Meister. And that is such a sixth grade move.
Yes, very immature. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, though, Luann comes in making a storm not only about that, but also about the Jill situation once again, butting in, addressing Ramona at a party, which she told her not to do, and, you know, going back on what she said to her now. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of contradicting themselves here, I think. And here's Luann sort of, in a way, picking a fight about the Jill situation when Ramona's saying, listen, we talked about it. We're gonna save it for the trip, or Ramona wants to save it for the trip. What do you think about Luann coming at her yet again about the Jill situation?
I think in every episode, there has to be somewhat of an instigator, whether it's Sonia, right, who's been the token instigator over the past couple of episodes, or now it's Luann. I think there always has to be somebody meddling, somebody stirring the pot. Jackie, you, somebody who has obvious experience in reality TV, did you experience any of that? Producers telling you guys that, you know, you always have to have somebody sort of driving the chaos at all? Because that's, I think it's more of a producer move than anything else. Why would Luann have a vested interest that much in defending Jill from Ramona?
Right. You know, I think it depends. You'd be surprised at how these characters genuinely want to stir the pot themselves because they know it's going to get them more airtime and it's going to give them more exposure and give them a bigger role on the show. So it could easily be the producers, but it could just as easily be Luann getting smart and saying, I'm going to step it up in this episode and, you know, get my presence known. So I could really could go either way, but I definitely think Luann, whether it was her own doing or the producers, stepped it up as far as, you're right, being the instigator of the episode. And
I guess that was just my inner optimist. I was just hoping that these middle-aged women, on some level, actually do want to get along and that a producer was meddling. But, you know, who knows?
Right. Here's hoping.
Yeah,
here's hoping.
Totally.
I agree. I hope that, too.
Totally.
And it leads to Alex at least giving us a famous line here. She is a thug in a cocktail dress.
Yep.
We can't pass over that. That's been teased to, I think, all season. So that was pretty funny. We
pretty brilliant.
That line.
Yeah, I do like that.
And so here we go. Drama, drama, drama. You know, they say they're working on it. Luann is trying to get Jill to be a little bit stronger with Ramona. And I don't know. I guess we're going to see what happens as this trip is upon us.
Totally. I can only imagine the sort of drinks that are going to be flying in the air and hands that are going to be pulling hair. I think it's just going to be total, total craziness.
Right. And of course, no surprise, but Kelly, of course, decides she's going to come on the trip. So Kelly will also be there for all of the drama. And
as we had thought a couple weeks ago, because isn't she contractually obligated? Kelly can't just conveniently dip out of a big Moroccan trip with the entire cast.
Right. We all thought that, and we were right in thinking that.
Yes.
Of course, I do think she had reservations about it, and I'm sure she rightfully so did, but we knew she was going to come around.
Yes.
So that was a little added drama
yes.
to solve itself.
Glad
all
she
before
did.
Before this big adventure that we're about to see for the next 3 weeks.
Yes, very excited. Very excited.
But before we get to our predictions and our news and gossip, let's go to a quick commercial and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Hey.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Jackie?
Okay. I thought Jesse was going to come in, but I will take the reins. We have several sources reporting that the United States Court of Appeals has upheld a $7 million judgment against Real Housewife of New York star Sonia Morgan. This was made by Hannibal Pictures, which alleges she is personally liable for fraudulent conduct when a movie she agreed to fund, of course, the title's killer, Fast Flash to Bang Time, was not made. Morgan filed for bankruptcy in November, claiming the movie was never made because its planned star John Travolta needed various conditions that her company, Sonya Productions, couldn't provide. So what do you think of that?
I mean, it's sort of, it falls in line with everything that we've seen come out in the press about Sonya and her finances within the past year. Not surprising. You know, Sonya seems very focused on publicizing the Sonya brand, on perhaps publicizing the toaster oven brand, making movies. Right. Not really sure that that was the direction she should have been going in anyways. So maybe this was like a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely. And of course, you never know what people's financial situations are, but I just thought it was funny. New York Magazine said, well, she better keep those unpaid interns around the townhouse a little bit longer.
Totally. They phrased it so beautifully. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but she seems to be doing quite well trying a bunch of things, and most of them, I'm sure, will work out, so.
Yeah, she can graduate to movies. If the toaster ovens take off, she'll graduate to movies in the future.
Right, right. So, one step at a time, Sonya.
Yes.
And on to another Real Housewives star, Countess Luann de Lesseps' daughter has been kicked out of a posh private school in the Hamptons. The reality show star's 16-year-old daughter, Victoria, was reportedly asked to leave her $45,000 a year private school following the release of a YouTube video showing her using racial slurs and apparently rolling some sort of cigarette. Luann's response was that Victoria withdrew from the Ross School 5 months ago, but it was unrelated to the video. So what do you think about that?
I personally didn't go to private school, but I was asking a girlfriend of mine earlier who did, and she was telling me that the typical policy of these schools is that we're going to ask you to leave, so we're going to go ahead and give you the courtesy of saying that you want to withdraw, but if you don't withdraw, we're going to ask you to leave. So I think the school was being nice and asked the girl definitely to leave, especially if she was doing these foul things on the internet. You would just assume that a girl who's going to a school that costs $45,000 a year in high school, not even college, high school, you would think that she would appreciate that a little more, that her parents work hard to make that work for her, and that she would keep any sort of racial slurs that she might have bottled inside of her. You would think that she would keep that to herself, but she's learning her lesson the hard way for sure. Who knows what that girl's up to now that she's not in her she Hamptons private school.
Right. Well, apparently she's going off to Paris next. So Paris better watch out.
Is she studying abroad, or is she going to go to school there?
I believe she's going to study art. So I don't know if that's professionally or through school, but I guess we'll find out.
All right. Best of luck to her.
She won't be making any YouTube videos anytime soon.
Probably not.
Let's hope she learned her lesson.
Yes.
Although judging on the way these ladies operate, she might not have learned that lesson just yet.
You know what? Her mom's a countess, and she prides herself on being a classy lady who is very tolerant of all people of all shapes, sizes, ethnicities, and whatnot. So hopefully she'll start instilling some of those values into her daughter.
Right, right. Let's hope.
Yes.
So it's a good wake-up call for Luann, too, probably.
Oh, yeah, totally. Start teaching your daughter about class.
Right. Let's all learn a little bit about class.
Right. Totally.
So that is your Roni news and gossip for this week. And let's see. Why don't we get into our AfterBuzz prediction?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Love that scary music.
I know. I just feel like it's Halloween every time.
Right.
Well, we know by now that we are 3 weeks to go in Morocco. It's all belly dancing and camel riding. And, of course, the ladies start to turn into animals themselves. We
yes.
see Alex and Luann going back and forth. That thug in a cocktail dress talk continues. We see her calling Luann a snake. And Cindy looks at all these women and basically calls them crazy. So
yes.
I'm looking to see what happens there. But the big battle that seems to be continued is going to be that Jill and Ramona battle.
Yes.
It looks like Ramona ends up as a damsel in distress, laid out on the bed, hysterical. So
yeah.
There's a lot to come, it seems, in Morocco.
Probably a Pinot-fueled damsel in distress meltdown on the bed nonetheless. But yeah, I think Morocco is, like I said before, I think it's going to be a beautiful backdrop. There's going to be so many fun things for the women to do there. Lots of opportunity for continual drama and all sorts of nastiness and catfighting and whatnot. So that'll definitely be a real fun after show for us to chat about.
Absolutely. It continues next week. They're off to Morocco. And who do you think will be the ultimate break, have the ultimate breakdown of the trip this time? Do you think it will be one person or shared by many?
I really think, like you said before, I really think it's going to come down to the whole Ramona Jill issue. It's been the issue at the forefront of all the plot lines throughout this season so far. And I think the alcohol really, really does fuel a lot of the intensity and the fights and the like animosity that they hurl at one another. So knowing that Ramona is no stranger to grab a couple glasses of a drink, especially I assume that'll be heightened while on vacation, I think that it's going to escalate out of control and be really entertaining for us to watch.
Absolutely. I think Ramona will be, I think she's head villain of this season, whether she owns that or not. I think it's going to be sort of solidified in Morocco. So
yes.
I can't wait.
Cannot wait for that.
Do you have any other last thoughts before we sign off?
I mean, it's the same old with these ladies. They're going to bring it in Morocco. So let's look forward to that.
And they're going to make it worth the trip, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh, of course. We got to see if Bravo will sponsor a trip for us there.
Right.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I wish. Well, I can't wait until Mari is back with us. Charlie's Angels Trio will be back next week.
Yep.
We will sort out all the Moroccan drama and break it down. And, of course, thanks for joining me, Deirdre.
Yes, thank you for hosting tonight.
Yeah, that's all for your AfterBuzz TV Real Housewives.
Yay.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.